Welcome to Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is your hostess, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Aku Designs, broadcasting out of Tampa, Florida, where all of the entrepreneurs can be found under the clients section of the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. You can visit while listening to the show. Do It All in the Mall is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores of all your needs. You can shop while listening to entertainment, all in the comfort of your home. You can make a difference nationwide, but really you can make it worldwide. No lines, no pushing, no cashiers, no masks. Take a tour and shop. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021, and welcome to Bible Study. Please join the Bible Study conversation at 845-241-9985. Do It All in the Mall does not own the rights to any of the music you hear during the show today. First, we'll hear from Tasha Cobbs Leonard, I Have Decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. 'Cause he never ever led me astray. 'Cause he never ever led me astray. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me,
yes,
world behind me. The cross before me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no.
No turning back. No turning back.
We put the cross before us and the world behind us. Can help us keep going straight. Amen. Praise God. So
amen.
I thank God for
amen.
Today. Brother Rodney is on the phone and he is going to lead us in prayer.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. Let us pray. I pray that all had a blessed day, and I know if you're on this line, you've had a blessed day because you're still in the land of the living, and that right there is a blessing. And so we thank
there
God
go.
For that alone. Thank you for health and short strength. So we pray now. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we Thank you now for another blessed day, oh God. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for a reasonable portion of mind. We always say, oh God, and we really do mean that, because we do thank you for our health and our strength and for a reasonable portion of mind. We thank you, oh God, for all of the amenities that you have given us that this life requires us to have, and we are appreciative and we don't take any of it for granted, oh God. But I do acknowledge you on this afternoon. I acknowledge you as God, and I do lift you up as God, and I do recognize you as God, and I speak about you as God, because that's who you are. You are God all by yourself. And now I do ask God Almighty for forgiveness of all of our sins, because your word said if we ask, you are faithful, and you are just enough to forgive us of our sins. And not only that, but you will do some separating, that you will separate them as far as the east is from the west, and you'll place them in a place never to remember them no more. So we thank you, O God, for how you've already forgiven us of our sins. We thank you, O God, for how you are moving us forward by your strength and for your might. And now I just thank you, O God, for blessing us to have arrived at this point in this day. It wasn't promised, but because of your grace and your mercy, you walked us through this day, and we are now at this point where we are ready and willing, oh God, to study your word. But it's your word. We don't have a word of our own, so we need your direction. We need your instructions. We need your guidance. Mm-hmm. We need you, oh God, to teach us. We need you to be the facilitator, oh God. We need you to open your word up to us that we might be able to understand it tonight, oh God. So we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us that special, special, special understanding tonight, that we might be able to understand your word, oh God. I lift up every family that's represented on the line, oh God, those who are coming on and those who thought about coming on but chose not to. I really pray for them, oh God. I lift up every family that's represented on the radio family tonight, oh God, and I ask that you would continue to give us your strength. I lift up Pastor Carolyn. God, I ask that you kind of continue to bless her and strengthen her and allow her, oh God, to always feel your presence. Her plate gets filled sometimes, but I pray that you continue to provide her with all that she stands in need of, oh God, and all of the hands that are working in the background to make this broadcast possible on this radio, internet radio, oh God. I pray as well that you would extend your grace and that you would extend your mercy, oh God. Oh, so much happened today in Washington, oh God, and so I do just pray a blanket prayer for all our new president and our vice president and all those who are getting ready to come into office to do the work that you call them to do, oh God. And so I pray their protection. I know that there's still evil on every hand. There are people out there seeking to hurt individuals, oh God. So I pray that you cover them and protect them. Allow no hurt, harm, or danger to come to them, oh God. I pray that we would just rebuke anything that's coming up against them right now, oh God. Any negative thing that may come up, any plans, oh God, that might be materializing to come up against them, oh God. We want to call it a plan going bad, because we know you can make the plan going bad, oh God. So I pray that you cover them and that you protect them, oh God, and that you keep them. I lift up our outgoing president. I pray much for ex-president Donald Trump, oh God. I pray that you provide peace for him, even right now, on this night, wherever he might be. I pray that you touch his mind and allow him, oh God, not to be wrestling with anything that he don't have control of, but that you will allow him to come to know you as a Savior and provide that peace that he stands in need of, oh God. So I pray that earnestly and sincerely that you will allow him to find your peace, that peace which passes all understanding, oh God. So I thank you now, because I believe that you are doing all of this as we are praying. You're working it all out by faith, oh God. So again, we honor you tonight, and we just bless your holy name. You are indeed so special to all of us, and we know, God, that the enemy wants to trip us up and cause us not to serve you, but I pray that you give us more staying power, give us more resisting power, that we might be able to resist it. Your word said if we resist the enemy, he would flee from us, oh God. So I pray that you give all of that, all of us, that which we stand in need of. Now, God, as we open up your word, allow each one of us to receive that nugget, or those nuggets that you have for us tonight. And allow us, oh God, not to dispense them, oh God, but allow us to hold on to them and allow them to change our lives as you are seeking to do. I thank you and I love you and I bless your holy name. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we offer this prayer. And all who will together say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen. Amen. And we have the Rodleys on the line with us. So they have arrived. So we have a full house.
Praise God. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm very blessed. How are you and everybody else?
Look, I'm good.
I think we're all doing well.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're doing what we're doing.
So it is in your hands, Sister Reverend Mrs. Carolyn.
Good girl. Sister Reverend Mrs., please just pick one and I won't be offended by it. I can be anyone you want to call instead of all three of them at the one time. Amen.
Okay, Lady Carolyn.
So I pray that God is blessing all of you today, and he's blessed us to be alive in this day. He's blessed us to be able to be on the Bible study line one more time. And I just want to pray and ask the Lord's covering as I begin to do what it is that I'm doing. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your prompting and your leading. I thank you, oh God, for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And I pray and agree with the prayer that Rodney prayed earlier, but I just wanted you to anoint and cover me with your blood as I tend to lead us through this study tonight. I pray that you will allow us to all be on one accord, that you will allow us to all hear what your spirit is saying to your church, and that you will allow all of us to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word as well. So we need your word to cover us today, to fill us today, to manifest itself in us in a new and fresh way today. Thank you, O Lord, for all that you have done and all that you will do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Now, you will notice that we have been trying to make sure that as we have given our lives to Christ, that we have the necessary tools to do what he has called us to do, and also to be what he has called us to be. Amen. And he has given us all of the tools necessary for us to be successful as individuals who have given their lives to Christ. So I thank the Lord for what he's doing in all of our lives today. And so as we have become disciples and knowing who we are and whose we are, now we want to talk about what it means to follow that person that we are a disciple of, and that person is none other than Jesus the Christ. So we're going to talk about becoming like Christ tonight. And Matthew 4 and 17 said, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And Matthew 4 and 19 says what? Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So the first point that I want to share with us is that once we became saved, we have a different mission in life. Our mission is no longer to go to school, get this degree, to open up a new business, to find a husband or a wife, or to get married and have children. Your whole purpose in life should have changed when you gave your life to Christ. And one thing that I want to say is once you receive the blessings and goodness of the Lord, it's up to all of us to turn around and help others to receive the blessings and the goodness of the Lord. Now, So the first question on the outline is, how do I become like Christ? You are a disciple of Christ, are you not?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Because you are a disciple of Christ, I have listed a few things here that you need to do to become like Christ. And the first thing leading the line is die to yourself.
Uh-huh.
And why do you want to die to yourself? We talked about that pretty extensively in a previous Bible study. But you're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. And the price was Jesus' death and burial on the cross. He died for you. He paid the price for you. And so with him paying the price for you, you're no longer in charge of your own life. That's why you admitted that you wanted him to be your what? Lord and your Savior. Him being your Lord allows you to die to self and know that you cannot be the person in charge of your life anymore. Every day when we get up, we need to be saying to our Jesus to speak for me, think for me, walk for me, take control of my life today. Don't let me be in control of my life. I need you to be in control of my life. And if he is in control of our lives, then he will fix things the way that they need to be fixed for us. We don't have to try to fix it ourselves, but we are giving him the opportunity to do what? Fix things for ourselves. So it is okay for you to start praying, asking the Lord to help you die to yourself. Because if you don't die to yourself, you're just the person who confessed Jesus and become powerless. In your going and in your coming. And you don't want to be powerless. He said he came so that we all might have what? Life and have it more abundantly. Well, if you are going to stay in control of your own life, you're not going to have that abundant life that he has for you. But if you follow what he has told you to do, then you will be successful. You will be successful. Any comments up until this point?
Yeah, I want to add something. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was trying to get in. You said some things in the beginning. You said once, I think, and I'm not gonna quote it as you did. Once we give our life to Christ, you said we are no longer. You named a lot of things like opening a business and doing this and doing that. And I wanted to make sure we understood that what you were saying is our priorities are now rearranged. We still want to do those things and achieve those things, but our main goal and our main priority is that we are going to try to become more like Christ. Because you named a lot of things, you know, that do you remember what I'm talking
about? Yes.
Thank
you so much.
And so I was just making a point. Just making a point because we still want to achieve those things, but we just want to have them now as sub things.
Going to take place of him or come before him. And so that's why I was saying that your purpose in life becomes wanting to do whatever you can to help lead others to Christ. You know, but if you don't have Christ, your mission goal might be to go to college, get a good job, or to get married, have a family, or to start a business without Christ.
And I guess all the other things are falling into place, as the scripture says. If you seek ye first,
that's exactly
all
right.
Those other things are falling into place.
Do somebody
seek
want
ye
to
first.
Get that in?
Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things will fall into place. Yeah, then while they're looking for that, I just wanted to add one point about dying to self. You know, nobody knows self better than self. You know, I talked one time about if I could only get out of my own way. I know me better.
Yeah.
Nobody knows self better than self. That's why it's difficult, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to die to ourselves, because self knows self better than anybody else. So there's some things that self may try to hold on to because self knows self better than anybody else. So we really, really, really need the direction and the instructions and the leadership of God to die to self, because that can be a struggle sometimes because self knows self so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other part of that is we want to do what feels good to us, right, wrong, or indifferent. And what feels good to us may not be what God has for us. So you want to be following the master plan. Now, how do you follow the master plan unless you follow the teachings of Christ? So study the teachings of Christ is the next thing that I have on the outline. Study the teachings of Christ. And if you go to, and you'll see this in a little bit when we start looking at the scriptures, if you go to Matthew 6, 7, 8, you will find a whole bunch of teachings that Jesus is doing. And if you oblige yourself to those instructions that he's given us in the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapters of Matthew, you will have everything you need to really be successful in your Christian walk. If you don't go nowhere else, you can go right there and find what you need to find for you to be more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that in a little bit as we go through to it, okay? And then again, the next one is you want to invite the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guard our hearts and minds into what? All truth, right? If we need truth, we need it from Jesus. He's not going to teach us wrong. He's not going to lead us astray. So you got to be willing to follow him and not follow yourself and or others. I listen to people all the time who go to big mega churches and they'll come back talking about what the pastor talk about. The pastor said this, that, or the other. What does the word say? It's important. The pastor may flip and give you something that he don't intend for you to have. I'll make a mistake. I make mistakes all of the time, and all of us will and do. But the word doesn't lie. That's why you need the word for yourself. Amen.
That's right.
Then number four, you need to engage in public and private worship. Now, listen, we're in a discussion here, so you are welcome to jump in, add comments, add questions, or anything you need to do, okay? You're welcome to do that. So you want to engage in public and private worship. Why is that necessary? Well, the scripture teaches us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together because we draw strength from one another, and we also are encouraged by what others may be experiencing or how the Lord is blessing others. So when I'm in fellowship with you and you're in fellowship with me and we're sharing together, whatever blessings the Lord has poured out on you, when you share those with me, they encourage me to know that, well, if he did it for Ms. Inez, he'll do it for Carolyn. If he did it for Rodney, he'll do it for Carolyn. Whatever he's doing, if he's doing it for somebody else, because no matter what it is that we're going through in life, at the point that we're going through, most often all of us think that we are going through it by ourselves. But if you heard me say that I'm struggling with trying to stay sober. And although I'm struggling, or I was struggling with trying to stay sober, this is how the Lord helped me. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me to do, and this is how I was able to beat that.
Right.
You don't
some
have
other
to
people
home.
May feel your pain too.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people going through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you listen to television and radio and listen to the statistics about people, even during the coronavirus, they're talking about how people are struggling with addictions more. People are struggling with abusing their spouses and children more. People are going through a lot of things. But no man is an island, and the Lord did not intend for us to experience things by ourselves. And I believe this is why he said, confess your sins one to another. Because as we do that, then you can help me and I can help you, right?
Can I raise my hand right here?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry. But you don't want to tell everybody either, because some people don't have your best interest at hand. So when you do tell someone or confess it to somebody,
you want to use godly wisdom and judgment, because you can't tell everybody everything. Because irregardless of how much we may say we are Christ's disciples or we love each other, that may not always come across. And so you also don't want to tell people things, because everybody's not proud for you.
In the same
happy
place.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
So we do what we need to do.
And we do have another caller that just joined us, Miss Reverend Carolyn.
Okay. Hi, caller. We're happy to have you on the line today.
Well, gee, thank you.
Wonderful. Praise God. So I know you got a lot to offer as we talk about these things. How do I become like Christ is where we are right now. And so we've gone through A through C and on D. So we were talking about our worship, and I was talking more about the public worship first and then the private worship. But the private worship, nobody should be able to take the place of you worshiping God on your own. We all have been in almost a whole year, but the Lord has blessed us to be able to worship through virtual means. It didn't stop our worship. Now, if you had to be with somebody else, and it might have been discouraging to know that you couldn't be in the church building. But I believe what the word says, and that is all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So us being where we are at this point in our lives, the Lord is intending for us to learn from it and for us to be able to still not put anything in front of him. So your private and your public worship is important. And while public worship has turned out to be more virtual, you have people who are enjoying being able to be in their gown and still be able to experience worship. You have people who are sad that they can't go to the building anymore. But still, we need to be able to give God thanks and praise for everything. Because you're still able to worship. The worship is not about us being able to be together as much as it is us trying to be together with God. And so when people talked about the church being closed, the church is never closed. Because we are the church and we are his people. So it's all in how you look at it. But we weren't supposed to be going to church just to be together with each other anyway. We are trying to connect with our God on a regular basis. And God knew that we were going to the church and just filibustering and trying to be in each other's presence and trying to see who's got on what and trying to see who's paying what and trying to see who's doing all these things. He wanted our attention. And that's what he wanted from, yes, he does. He, that's what happened to the Old Testament, the children of Israel. Even after he brought them out, they still complained. And they always had stuff that they could complain about. Think about us. You know, I was just, I just had a birthday, and I didn't realize that I wasn't having a real birthday until my grandbaby KJ told me I didn't have a real birthday because I didn't have no cake and I didn't blow out no candles. So my birthday was not a real birthday. But what my birthday was for me was just being able to be alive and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see another year.
Amen.
Now, thank you, Lord. What are you going to do with me this year? What are you trying to tell me and show me in this birthday? And then I got a card that was saying to enjoy the simple things in the birthday. And, you know, there are so many things that we try to look for more when we're not giving him thanks for the little things. And it's not a little thing to have another birthday, because I don't know about you, when I look around and I see how many people have gone to glory.
Amen.
Some may have gone somewhere else.
Amen.
Regardless, it's a blessing to wake up every day and be in a reasonable portion of health and having a sound mind to where I can think about what it is that I need to do and how I need to do it and asking the Lord to help me do what needs to be done. And so I'm learning more and more wherever you are, whenever you get in the valley of decisions, and we will be there every time. We need to turn to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Lord, how are you going to help me out of this situation? Lord, how are you going to help me in this situation? And get through that. So find a time to publicly worship God. Find a time to privately worship God. And if you got any smartphone, you can just go on Facebook and you see a lot of worship services. You see a lot of preaching going on. So there's no excuse for us not to do what it is that we're doing. I got a call yesterday from a pastor who asked me to share in a revival on the 11th of February, I believe it is. But anyhow, we have everything we need. There's no excuse for us to say we can't worship.
We do. We do. Now, because I have to confess, because we are creatures of habit. When we first got away from the church building, I really missed the fellowship. I really missed the sound of the organ, the sound of the piano. I really missed the choir singing. I really missed that atmosphere. And I'm just being honest. It may have been, like I said, because we are creatures of habit, but I really missed that flavor from worship. And as we did virtual worship, certainly I am benefiting. But the first few months, I was like, you know, I show missing, looking in people's faces and miss hugging folk and, miss being right there with people. But I do understand that worship must go on, and this too will pass. But in the beginning, I was like, man, I miss church. But then I know that the church is in us. This church is not a building, but I didn't miss that flavor of worship.
So you just kind of missed that assembly part.
Yeah.
I think we all missed that. It's part of our, it has been part of our worship service, us all together in one place, together. And so when we're not able, even though we can do Zoom and the phone, it's still like, hey, something is missing. We don't have that warm hug next to us. That, like Rodney said, you handshake, the hug, the kiss on the jaw, the seeing people smile. You know, all of Ephraim, all of these things. And it, I think it waters, well, I don't want to say water down, but it tries to hinder the power. When we all come together, that's extra power. We all have a certain amount of power. But when we are separated, it's kind of like when you're there in Ecclesiastes and it's talking about the two being together, they're able to protect one another and they're able to keep one another warm. It's the same mindset when you're gathering together in the building. Because then we have extra power. We have, okay, I have power by myself. But if I'm with Reverend Cal and Reverend Rodney, Sister Inez, then I got, we got more power going.
And
I think that's what we're missing right now.
Consider this.
We're two more gathered.
But I want you to consider this. Much of what we have been doing became routine and ritualistic.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. But that can happen with what we're doing now. All of it can come to that.
Well, but this is why, again, Jesus has already done everything he needs to do. And if we don't take advantage of it, that is on us. So he has taught us what it is that we need to do. But if I don't do it, I'm just going to be a powerless saint. So I want to make sure that I am trying to do everything that I do so that I can become the successful disciple that he wants me to become.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Amen.
And so what I'm saying is that he's also challenging us to look at how we have been doing, how we have behaved, and what, you know, what worship in church is all about. And so if we are not trying to take advantage of all of the changes that take place in life, what do we do from there? You know, you got to take advantage of what the Spirit is saying to us, because the Spirit is speaking to us at all times. And just because things are not going the way that I'm used to having things go, doesn't mean the Lord is not in it anymore. I believe the Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But I also believe that he changes the way that he does things. We've seen in Scripture that he's changed his mind.
Yeah, we can in studying, I found we can cause God to change his mind. You are correct. I'm in agreement with you. But there's certain things that has to be done in order to do that. And what you're saying tonight, trying to live like Christ and become more like him, which is part of my prayer every day, that he'll give me that Christ-like mind and that Christ-like love for one another. Because if we're honest, we have to ask for it.
Okay, but Reverend Leo, can I ask you to change your prayer?
Sure.
And not just pray for that for you, pray for that for all of us, because we're seeing that we all need more of that.
I sure will.
So I want you to change your prayer, and we all should change our prayers as we pray for one another. We pray that we become more like Christ. We pray that we die to the flesh. We pray that we start studying and learning the teachings of Christ. We pray that we invite the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We pray that we engage in our public and private worship and prayer. We pray that we engage in serious prayer and fasting. We pray that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
yes,
and everything else will be added unto us. We pray that we allow Christ to not only be the Savior, but more importantly, to be our Lord. And watch what kind of person. There's no way we won't become more like Christ.
That's
if
right.
If we're praying those things in our individual lives and praying those things for each other.
That's
right. Amen.
That's right.
Now,
Reverend
Carolyn,
can I share something with everyone about this seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? When I first accepted Christ, I used to listen on the radio, and there were several preachers on there was preaching, just ask for it, believe it, ask for it, and receive it. And by me being a very young, I would say an infant, a distant, I took them at their word, and I needed a car. And I went in this particular day on my lunch break, and I looked at some cars and talked to the people and all of that, and I was supposed to call back later on, and when I did, I was turned down. I couldn't get the car, and I was really brokenhearted and confused. And I went home that evening with that on my mind, and I was asking the Lord, I don't understand. You say you ask, and it shall be given. See, you find, knock, the door will be open. I remember that's what I told him. And he did not say a word to me. I went through the evening until then. I went to bed that night. But early the next morning, when you're kind of sleeping, halfway awake, it's like he said no to me. I said, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. He put emphasis on that word first. And I understood then what I had to do. It really wasn't like you believe it and you receive it. It was something that you have to do first. And then, just like what I'm saying today, all of those other things will be given unto you. And trust me, he is, 40-some years later, he is a man of his word.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
and he expects us to do exactly what he said. And so we want to be clear that if we get up on Sunday or whatever your worship day is, and you decide that cleaning your house and washing your car is more important than your worship of God, you're not seeking first the kingdom of righteousness.
All right.
And his righteousness. You're not. That's just the bottom line. Anything that gets in the way of me worshiping God is a problem.
Yeah.
And that is why we have problems in our relationships. That's why we have problems on our jobs. That's why we have problems with maintaining the things that he has allowed us to be stewards over. Because we're trying to replace him with these things.
Amen.
So is that clear? Or does anybody have any comments or questions about that? So, we don't have time for prayer meeting. We don't have time for worship. We don't have time for studying his word. And, you know, the least we can do is if we come together with study of his word, at least you're opening the Bible in a group setting. For fear you don't open on your own. And that's why it's also good to be able to invite other people to participate in worship. Because at least if you invite them and they come and they hear the word and they get saved, then that is a credit to you. You have a stake in that salvation. So we want to do all we can. Okay, I need a roadmap to teach me how to become like Christ. Where can I find it? The roadmap is the Word of God. Everything you need is found in the Word of God. Everything. If you need to buy a car and you can't pay for it,
The word will instruct you as to how to conduct your business financially,
mm-hmm.
so that you can pay for the car.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have bad credit because we have overextended ourselves.
Right.
Most of us, they tell us no because we're not doing what's right according to what the Lord says. He says, give him a tenth. I'm going to give you 100%, but all I want you to do is give me a tenth.
Mm-hmm.
And an offer. Well, we got a problem with that. But expect the Father to bless us. I remember I was reading the scripture to my friend who had surgery today, and it was the one that talked about, if my Father who know, if, let's see, the one where the Father will give you good gifts and you evil, how much more will your Heavenly Father who is righteous will give you good gifts?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm paraphrasing it and not saying it the way that I really need to say it. But when we think about it, you know, his word tells us that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever mm-hmm. you wish. But what we want to do uh-huh. is leave parts of it out. We want to leave the abiding out and the letting the word abide in us, but we want to come and ask him to give us whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with that. You got to do it differently. You got to do it in such a way that you know that God can see you doing what it is that you need to do. Why should he tell me that if I come to him and abide in him and then his word is abiding in me and I can ask whatever I wish and it will be done, but I'm going to go to him, the one who knows all, the one who sees all, and I'm like, Lord, mm-hmm. I'm abiding in you. But I don't ever pick up my Bible, but I expect him to be Johnny on the spot when I ask him to help me for whatever I'm asking him to help me with.
All right.
That's not right.
Mm-mm.
We're not fair to him. Right. But this word in Exodus 15:26 says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer.
So he
made some promises to us, and these promises also come with some instruction. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given unto him. One of the things that I liked about the president today was he invited the people, his top leaders on both sides, and many of them were also not wanting him, or also saying that he was not duly elected. Where did he invite them to come? To the church. And they went in prayer and asking, he wanted the Lord to help him with the wisdom he needed to be able to deal with the people.
Right.
Now, it took wisdom to even do that. And I know I have been praying, and I'm asking other people to pray that the Lord put people in leadership who want to do right by him and his people. Because irregardless to who you are, if you are a leader, you have to deal with all people. Doesn't mean you agree with what the people say or do, but you still you can't just get rid of them.
Yes, right.
You got to leave them regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of God we serve. He wants us to be concerned. And if I am in a leadership capacity and I'm not showing care and concern for the people that I'm trying to lead, who's going to follow me?
Well.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't want anybody following me if I'm not trying to do what's right. Because not only am I leading myself to hell, I'm leading them too.
Hmm. Think about it. The Lord knows what he's doing.
So if you need a roadmap, if I need to go to California tomorrow, I might know what highway to get on to go all the way to California.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to do some other things once I get to California.
Mm-hmm.
So I need a roadmap. I'm not going to not consult the map and try to call myself going to California.
Oh, Shannon. Come on.
So I want to be able to do it right now. And so mm-hmm. the next thing I want to say to you is, you want to begin your studies with the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and parts of John. Why are they synoptic? Because they are different books with much of the same account of what took place in Jesus' teaching and his life as he was sharing with the people. So you got different accounts, but you got different personalities
mm-hmm.
giving them. Matthew, Mark, Luke were all different people, and John.
Amen.
So they had different ways of looking at whatever took place, but you may be able to get the story that talks about the woman at the well in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I say, and sometimes John, because not all of the stories are in the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does, it helps you to have a different account of what the word says. It doesn't mean that the meaning is changed, because usually when it's given, the story is being told by them, and they're being told out of their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when the Lord calls all of us, the Lord gives us a different way of preaching and teaching his word. Sister Leo may teach it one way, I may teach it another, Reverend Rodney may teach
mm-hmm.
it another, Sister Inez may teach it another. We are different people, and the Holy Spirit speaks differently to all of us. But it doesn't mean that Reverend Leo's way and Sister Inez's way is better than mine and
mm-hmm.
Reverend Rodney's way.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So start looking what the word is saying about different things. And Jesus started out by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? Near. The one thing you got to do, and all of us need to know it, is that you will not see the Lord unless you repent.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask for the forgiveness of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, you're not going to see him.
That's it.
So when Jesus is teaching, starting in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and I'm going to read it from this King James Version. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for what? Nothing. But
mm-hmm.
to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city
mm-hmm.
set on the hill cannot
yeah,
be hid. Neither mm-hmm. do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven."
Uh-huh.
One of the things that we want to do is we want to become like salt and light.
Uh-huh.
We want to make sure that people are seeing that we are an example of Christ.
But if I am screwing out hatred, if I am talking nasty to you all of the time, how am I going to get a good grasp and a feel that you are the light of Christ or I am the light of Christ? That's not going to come out. What's in you will come out. So it's best to put good in so only good can come out.
Right.
I remembered I preached a sermon not very long ago. We are what we eat. And whatever you eat and whatever stays before you is what's going to come out in a negative way if it is not Christ. Likewise, whatever good you're putting in, only that's going to come out. I was looking for yesterday I was looking for some kerosene, and we had gotten some from the tractor supply place because my son burns kerosene at the gym in this master blower type thing. So I went to get the kerosene, and they were out. This lady told me where to go. Not only did she solve my problem for now, but it solved for the whole duration. The place to get the kerosene is just across the track from Rodney Jr.'s house. Then I went to the supply place, and I got a kerosene can, 5-gallon can, and they got the spout made to where it won't even spill.
Nice.
So I went back. After I got the kerosene, the man in the store where the kerosene is told me to go to the hardware store to get the can. When I got to the hardware store, then the man showed me which can to get. And then I told him I want the one that was most reasonable, but the one that I got that was most reasonable was one that had that was specific for kerosene. Because when I used kerosene before, you could go to the gas station and buy it and just pump it like you pump gas. And so when I tell this man that, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm old. I said, well, I must be old, too, because that's how I believe it. And saw it, and I knew how to get it. But I didn't bring the jug, so I don't have anything for you to put it in. So he told me to go to the hardware store. Well, I was so blessed by that woman telling me to go to that store because I knew what it was like going from Lowe's to the tractor supply store trying to get it. And now that's been resolved. I know exactly where to go. That done cut out a whole bunch of trouble for me. And so I was able to say to the woman that told me that, I went back to that store and I told her, I said, here, I want you to buy lunch on me today because you blessed me. And you didn't have to tell me what you told me. Not only did you help me solve the need for today, but now I can go there to get it whenever I need it. Because I said, I'm not going to be cold anymore. I want to have the heat I need to have. I'll bring my own kerosene. I said all of that to say that woman was light for me. And when she was light for me, I went back to her. And when I went in the store to her, she couldn't believe that I had come in there and said, have lunch on me today. And she gave me one little slip, because if you buy anything in the tractor supply place, they'll give you a coupon to enter you into a $25,000 giveaway.
Wow.
And she said, here, I don't know what this is, but I want you to have this. And I don't know whether it's going to help you or not, but I want you to have it and follow it. Call this number and enter this drawing. When I got back in my
God
drawing,
is a good
I entered this you know,
so she read,
but that's what God expects us to do, to be a blessing to each other.
So she didn't give you a fish. She taught you how to fish because she taught you something that was going to bless you the whole winter. So, she gave you a fish. She taught you how to fish. And so that really was.
Well, that's what we should be doing, searching for souls.
And it was cheaper coming out of the pump, I believe, than in the store. So that was
I got a 5 gallon container for $36 and some change.
That usually costs
$50. Whereas if I had bought the 5 gallon from them, it would have been 50 something. It was right at 60 at low.
Yeah. But let me say something right quick, Reverend. Let me say something about this salt and light. You know, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be useful. We need to be effective, because the 33 years that Jesus spent on earth, Jesus was effective and Jesus was useful. Jesus was helping people and Jesus was always doing things to uplift people. And if we're going to, be like the salt and the light, salt is very useful. Salt is used for a whole lot of, you know, salt has a lot of practical use. Light also has a lot of good practice. So if we are going to be like Jesus Christ, then we need to be like the salt and like the light, because they offer people so, and that's just a small way of breaking that down. We need to have the benefits, and we need to have the usefulness of salt and the usefulness of light, because we know God knows we need light, and we also need we don't need too much of it, but we need salt. You know, not only can we eat it, but it preserves things. So if we're going to be like Christ, we certainly need to be useful in what we do as Christians.
Amen. And people will take whatever they see us as, whether we're salt and light or whether we're whatever, they'll take it and use it against us.
Yes, well, they try to.
That's
and we
right.
can't get mad because we are supposed to be who Jesus tells us to be, right?
That's right.
Amen.
So we can't get mad when they tell us what they tell us. So do all of you agree that we need to become salt and light?
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. God, what I want you all to know, that's why I gave you the scripture, because I don't want, although I'm teaching this, I don't want you to say Reverend Carolyn said this. You can say Reverend Carolyn said in reference to Matthew 5:13-15. But I don't want you to say Reverend Carolyn said. I want you to say the Bible said, or the Word said, because that's what's important.
Yes, can I
and
add something to that light, Reverend Carolyn? It's like, when we accept Christ Jesus as our Savior, I think it's the third chapter of John that tells us he is light. And it tells us that the men did not like the light. They loved darkness because their deeds are evil. But when we accept Christ Jesus, we too are reflection. His light is bounces over there on us. We are reflection of that light in Jesus Christ. A lot of times when people come to Christ, people start saying, oh, it's a glow about you. Oh, seems like it's a halo over you. That's the reflection of Jesus Christ over that person. And so that's why it's saying that we are to, of the light, we are to do the same thing that Jesus did. We are to be doing everything you got listed on this paper today is what we're supposed to be doing. We are representatives of that great light. Jesus is that great light, and we are a reflection of it. The salt is a sacrifice. The salt is a preservative. The salt is good for seasoning. And if it gets that, you go in your kitchen and wet your salt in that box and see what happens. It's no good for anything. We are supposed to be seasoning this earth with the Word of God.
And where I want us to be. This is why I have committed my life to Christ, because I want to make sure that we're doing everything we are doing to help lead people down the right path for right.
If a little fire breaks out sometime on the eye, you can dash a little salt on it.
Oh, no, that's right, Reverend Rodney. I've done it many times. Don't spill no grease. You throw salt in it. It'll stop it. stop it.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, let's stop. It's a fine pusher. That
right.
means it's
so.
If you out of hell. You season
yeah,
the earth with his
right.
word, it will keep you out of hell. That's the great fire.
Amen. Mm. Praise God.
Well, listen, we want to make sure that this is why we're trying to teach people how to do what needs to be done. We,
Amen.
You know, we don't mm-hmm. want to have the philosophy that, well, just pray. The Lord will make a way somehow. People have been saying
mm-hmm.
that for years. We need to be able to show them in the Word what the Word says so that they can start living the Word out and becoming successful through the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will bless you. And even as Reverend Leo gave us the illustration of seeking first the kingdom of God, I'm going to give you another illustration. And that is the one about winning souls. There's a passage of scripture that
mm-hmm.
says, he who wins souls is wise. If you want to receive blessings from the Lord, become
mm-hmm.
a disciple-making person and watch how God will bless you and take care of you. The whole time I was in seminary, I developed a prayer. Lord, I am taking care of your business, so I need you to take care of mine. I need you to take
mm-hmm.
care of my business. And he took care of my business for me. And I know that he will continue to take care of our business because he said that if we sought him, he would do
mm-hmm.
what? Take care of everything concerning us, right?
Yeah. We're obedient.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we want to be obedient. Okay, I'm going to cover this 17 through 20. We want to become like Jesus because he teaches us how to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17 through 20. Okay, and the word says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say
mm-hmm.
unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But
mm-hmm.
whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And and here's the last verse. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we do not want to try to puff ourselves up and make
mm-hmm.
sure that we got a word to teach anybody. We have to teach people God's word. God's word and God's word alone. And what he's saying is he didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. So when you hear people talking about, oh, we're living in the New Testament, we're under grace, we're not under the law anymore, dismiss that individual when they start talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's foolishness, as Reverend Lil said. That's foolishness. And this scripture right here helps you to see that's foolishness. And he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. His word is going to be fulfilled. Luke 4:18-19 talks about the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus when he opened up that scroll and read in the temple. But he was reading it from Isaiah. And it reads the exact same way. And I don't know about you, but you can go and find so many words printed in Old Testament. And then you can go to New Testament and understand it just real good, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it is going to fulfill it. It's going to let you know that if it's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that's what he meant. He meant for us to do it. And then you have people who will say tithing is not in the New Testament. Well, Reverend Rodney taught about tithing, and he said, if you are a free giver, you're going to give more than the tenth, and the tenth doesn't become a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
What becomes a problem is your disobedience in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't change the word to fit me. I need to get in line with the word. So when the word tells me I need to do something, whether I'm convicted or not, most often it convicts us, therefore we try to rebel against it. That's not what the word is there for. The word tells me, and Rodney was having a conversation one day, and I was sharing, the word says if I do anything that offends another, I need to stop it. So if I'm offending you in any way, and you let me know that I'm offending you, then my job should be to just pray and ask God to help me stop that so that I'm no longer an offender to you. Because I'm in sin when I'm offending you. We cannot be perfect, but the Holy Spirit will be us, teach us all things and help us to know what's perfect and what's not. So we want to hear what he says. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And how did Jesus look at the scribes and Pharisees? He looked at them as hypocrites. And a hypocrite is saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all of us have been guilty at one point or another being hypocritical about a situation or circumstance. But we want to try not to be hypocritical because we are the light and the salt, and we are trying to lead others to Christ. So if I am saying to you, ooh, I can hardly make it, the Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I am down and out. I am poor. It's time for me to evaluate what's going on with me. Because the word of the Lord says what? He will supply my every need according to his riches and glory. Either I believe it or not. And my task is to believe it and stand on his word. Lord, you said that you will supply my needs according to your riches and glory. Why am I having this lack in my life? What am I not doing correctly? And the Lord will show me. So all I have to do is be obedient to the word of the Lord, and he will take care of things for me. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Well, my prayer is that we all make sure we are living like we believe it. Because he does not want you to waste your time in Bible study just sucking up all the good Bible study and not living it out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want us to do that. That's a waste of his time, our time, and the person who's teaching time. So, okay, if you all are in agreement with me, I'm going to bring us to a close.
Before you close, Reverend Keller, here I am again. You said that they say that, and which I've heard that too a lot of times, concerning the tithes not being in the New Testament. But Matthew 23:23 says different. Jesus spoke and said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. Of cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. And so here he's saying that we should pay tithes on all that we have. So it is in the New Testament, but those who have been, who have had that old saying that Reverend Carolyn just said, because I've had people to tell me tithes is not in the New Testament, but it is, and Jesus is the one that's talking about it.
And that's great, Reverend Leo. Thank you so very much for that. But see, again, when we are arguing against the Word of God, it's something that's not right in us. We are most often guilty about something that we are not doing. And so I don't have an argument about how I'm going to pay the tithe and the offering. When I read in the Old Testament how he instructed us to bring the tithe to an offering to the priest, I don't even have a problem with it going to the priest, because it's the priest's responsibility to make sure that everything is done above board and everything is done in order. So
that's
when you bring your tithe to Spread the Word Ministry, if I allow it to be swindled, then that is something the Lord is going to deal with me on.
That's right.
And so we are all accountable to somebody. And so we want to make sure that we're doing it right. But all I'm trying to make sure that you understand is, Sister Leo just brought that real clear, that we have to believe whatever is written in the script in Old and New Testament.
Amen.
I think it's 1 Thessalonians. I'm not real sure where it says that all scripture is given for a particular reason. And again, the scripture is the word of God, and the scripture is supposed to convict us. And if you have lost your conviction and the word's not convicting you about anything, you're in a bad place.
Amen.
You have no conscience.
The scripture is supposed to convict us. We're not supposed to just feel bad all the time, but the scripture is necessary to convict us.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
So let's pray that we keep our conviction, because that's what's going to keep us out of hell.
Amen.
That's right. It gives us a conscience. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So praise God. We will pick up the next time with number D. Number C. Love your enemies. And all you got to do is do what the word is instructing us to do, and I promise you he's going to bless us.
Like you say, the Bible is the roadmap. Like you said, the Bible is your roadmap. You follow the Bible, you shouldn't have no problems.
No problems whatsoever. And this is why we want to walk through and see what the word is saying.
Right.
Again, I can't make you live the word. I can teach the word to you, but I can't make you live it.
That's right. That's right.
And remember, Jesus is at the door knocking, at the doorpost of our heart. And he said, if you open your heart, he'll do what? Come in.
Right.
He's not going to force this stuff on us. He's going to let us send our own selves to hell. So when I find myself at hell's door, I can't get there and say, well, Reverend Rodney, if you hadn't done this to me, I wouldn't be at hell.
All right, all right.
And see, Reverend Rodney could say, well, Reverend Carolyn, if you didn't do this to me, I wouldn't be in hell.
All right.
The only person that is responsible for your soul is you. That's why he's trying to let us know that through all of the stuff that's going on, Have you ever wondered how is it that he's healing some people from corona and some people are dying quickly?
Mm. That's right. You wonder, but you don't know why. Don't question.
We
God.
Don't know why.
Okay.
But I know mm-hmm. I can tell you one thing. What he's trying to tell us all is stop playing with
mm-hmm.
me. Let's get real. Let's develop a relationship
mm-hmm.
with me. Let's do what you need
mm-hmm.
to do to get it right. He's
mm-hmm.
given all of us that opportunity.
Amen.
So many chances.
Yes.
So if you
mm-hmm.
woke
mm-hmm.
up this morning, and you did because you're on the line
mm-hmm.
and you're breathing, he's given you another opportunity tonight to get it right with him.
Mm.
We can't say that it's going to be that way tomorrow because we
right,
don't know
right.
if he's going to wait. And I think you heard me say something like this on the other on Sunday, I think it was, if you wake up and find yourself dead. In
yeah,
hell.
That was funny. That was funny.
So
mm-hmm.
all I know is he is not playing, and the Lord is trying to let all of us see that he is the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Of all
the
him,
awesome
there is
of our
no
faith.
Other.
Mm-hmm.
Care
mm-hmm.
what we intend to do, if it's not in God's will, he can stop it.
Quickly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
we have about 9 minutes left.
Well, we want to go ahead on and get the prayer in. Cause I got a long
mm-hmm.
list of people that I'm looking for. I'm
go ahead and do that.
Before we pray. I want to pray for my sister Ella and her husband David,
mm-hmm.
and I want to pray for the
mm-hmm.
Alberti family. I want to pray for Nina Guy, Reverend Rodney McCullough, Reverend Kevin McCray Jr., Kevin McCray Jr., Joshua McCray, Philando McFadden, Linus McCullough, May Margaret Crosby, Shanti O'Brien, Kenneth Hodge, Rodney and Adriana McCullough, Spread the Word Ministry, Tiffany Moore, Alex and Easter Williams, Henrietta Brown and family, Little Josh McCoy, Annie Mae and Philip Bradley, Theodosia Knox and Doris Harris, Miss Earlene McCoy, Samuel Barr and family, Miss Nettie Fulton family, Sierra Gow, Marcy Henson, and Ron Shaw. And I praise God, Ron Shaw had a heart transplant and is doing good. He's telling me he got a young person's heart. So he seems to be recovering. So we want to keep him in our prayers. So Father God,
mm-hmm.
I just thank you. James, you know what's going on in each of the lives. And we ask now in the name of Jesus that you touch, heal, and deliver. Thank you, O God, for everything that you have done. Thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, O God, that your word will become a light into our path. And it is that already. And we just ask that you allow it to be that for us. We thank you, O God. We lift up coronavirus to you. We lift up our nation's concerns to you, what's going on in our
mm-hmm.
world. We ask that you take control of the hatred that's going on. We ask that you intervene in the lives of husbands and wives that are struggling and not doing what needs to be done. We ask that you look after the businesses and that you increase the finances and that you take care of everything concerning us. We thank you, oh God, for keeping us safe and that you will protect us as we go to and fro doing what it is that we need to do, oh God. We just thank you for Ms. Inez and we thank you for Sharon. We pray healing for Sharon and we ask, oh God, that you strengthen them. I lift up Dr. Ralph Steele to you tonight and I pray that you will continue to crown him with wisdom from on high. Thank you, oh God, for everything that you're doing. We're lifting up the churches And we ask that you continue to allow souls to be won for you, O God. Soften the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and let them see that we need a Savior, and that Savior is you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, for everybody on this line today. We lift up all the households and all the needs, and I ask that you will continue to perform a miracle in all of our lives. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, we thank you, and we offer it all unto you tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And this has been your Bible study teacher, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Arlington, Texas, and you're listening to Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall, which is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall providing over 5,000 stores. We earn a commission on qualified purchases, which goes back to your community and not into your pocket. So the more you shop, the more funds we build by your shopping, where your money matters, because it goes back into your community. And so please shop with us, because we can make Black Lives Matter and make all lives matter at the same time, making a difference nationwide and worldwide. So take a tour and shop. Shop today. Amen. You like what we're doing here on Let's Do It Radio and Do It All in the Mall and would like to donate? Well, you can find the donate button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. So please share this with all of your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Tell somebody and bring somebody to share and discuss the experience. We can't do this journey by ourselves, and we don't have to do it by ourselves. So the song I'm going to leave you with today is Can't Give Up Now by Mary Mary. Have been listening to Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage and doitallinthemall.com. This has been your hostess, Miss Inez, broadcasting out of Tampa, Florida. We thank you for joining us this evening, and please be with us tomorrow when we are hanging out with Sergeant Parks and keeping it real with Black people. Amen.
Amen.